Gracious God, we ask that you would send your Spirit now to open our hearts and our eyes to see the truth of your Son. Amen. Please take a seat. Now, before I begin, I need to give you an aside. In the Gospel this morning, at the end of the Gospel, there was this strange picture of the heavens opening and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. I will not be addressing that in this sermon, but I am very excited about what it means. So if you want to talk to me about it, I would be very excited to have a conversation with you. So come and ask me, and we can happily talk. But I'm not going to address it in the sermon. Okay. This week, a friend of mine pointed me to a book that she's reading. It's called Willful Blindness: Why We Ignore the Obvious at Our Peril, from studies by psychologists, neuroscientists, and others. The author looks at reasons why we deny and ignore certain tragedies and disasters, from those within our families to large-scale social or global issues. She unpacks our human drive for safety, even at the expense of reality. Now, I've not read the book, and I got most of that from Amazon. But there is a lot about it that sounds quite interesting when we think about what it might mean to be mind blind. To have things that we just don't see, and we convince ourselves that the world looks a certain way. And as well as relating to the world outside, it relates to how we think about ourselves. Within my own life, there have been several life-changing moments when within me, a curtain has been drawn back, and I've realized something about myself, some uncomfortable sin or painful truth that I would have sworn blind could not have been true the previous day. And I think this inner mental shift describes part of what we call repentance, the change of mind from deceit to reality, from how we see things to how God sees things. But sometimes, even as Christians, we're not just blind to who we are, but we're actually also blind to who Jesus is. Sometimes we think, even without realizing it, that we have Jesus pegged. We think we've got it all down, that we know who he is. And we get comfortable with that, and we never move deeper. We maybe get something of his forgiveness, but we've forgotten the true scale of the cost. We get that he loves us, but we skirt over thinking about his holiness. We get his judgment, but forget the fact that he is merciful and generous to us. We have a one-dimensional Jesus, or to borrow from the book that my friend is reading, we have Jesus blindness. Now, just to be clear, I did try and explain this to a friend of mine who said, "Jesus is blind? That is not what I am saying. I'm saying that we are blind about Jesus." So I apologize if my accent is getting in the way, but that is what I mean. Okay. And it's something that we all have, because none of us knows Jesus perfectly. And I think if we're honest, we could all admit that there are things about Jesus that we read in the Gospels that we find uncomfortable. We believe it in our heads, but our hearts aren't so sure. Now, in the Gospel reading this morning, we encounter Nathanael, one of Jesus' followers, and he has a little bit of Jesus blindness too. His friend Philip goes and has met Jesus, So goes to Nathanael to tell him about him and say, look, I've met the one who we've been hoping for, but we've been waiting for. He's the one that was talked about in the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. But Nathanael responds with some skepticism. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Seriously. And it's not quite clear why Nathanael writes Jesus off like this. It might be that there was a rivalry between Nathanael's hometown and Nazareth. It may reflect the suspicion that the people from the south of Israel had about those from the north. It might be that Nazareth was just such a small town, it's surprising for anything to come out of it. For whatever reason, Nathanael writes Jesus off in his response. It can't be so, because Jesus isn't from the right place. He shows prejudice, and he shows Jesus' blindness. But notice what he does next. What he doesn't do is stay fixed in his blindness. Philip responds by saying, well, you know, come and see. And Nathanael goes with him. Despite his possibly sarcastic response, Nathanael doesn't refuse to go with Philip. His opinions don't get in the way of the opportunity to encounter Jesus and therefore just maybe change his mind. One of the dangers in faith is to take one of two extremes. At the one end of the spectrum, we come to believe in Jesus, we follow him, but we never question. We never voice any doubts or fears about him, the things that don't quite make sense or don't quite add up. If these thoughts arise in our hearts or minds, we reject them. We just focus on following the Jesus that we met. And if we read things in the Gospels that make us uncomfortable, we skirt over it and go back to a passage that we do like. And the downside of this is that we never grow. We never mature in our faith. Our faith might be sincere, but we've removed ourselves a long way from reality. When I was a teenager, and probably into my early 20s, I saw things as very black and white. There were no shades of grey. And I was more than just a little bit task-oriented. To me, Jesus was a divine commander. So my question was, what do you want me to do? What's next? Where do we go? What are we doing? Tell me. And it wasn't spending time with him and kept resting in his love for me. Because there were things inside me that feared going there, that was blind to encountering Jesus in those ways. And if my life had gone my way, I would have never moved beyond this. But at the other end of the spectrum, we come to believe Jesus and follow him, and then something happens. Maybe something in our lives causes us to question. A broken marriage, a bitter disappointment at unfulfilled dreams, life not working out in the way that we expect, the death of someone far too young. And we have so many questions, or such important questions, that we want to throw at Jesus. We give up. Or maybe it's in the reading of the Bible that we find passages we struggle with. We question God, but we never give him the space to make himself known. And so rather than allowing him to lovingly lead us into truth, we walk away. We stop engaging. And we don't have to stop going to church to stop engaging with Christ. But Nathanael is honest about his skepticism, but he still goes to see. He puts himself out there. And as he approaches Jesus starts to talk with him. And Nathanael's mind changes from Jesus' blindness to what we might call Jesus' curiosity. Where did you know me? How do you know who I am? And then he sees this small revelation of Jesus' divine knowledge. Jesus says, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Jesus gives this small revelation. I know you. I know where you were when Philip came to you. I even know the type of tree you were sat under. And with this moment of revelation, Nathanael's Jesus curiosity turns to Jesus' belief. And so he openly admits, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. In this move from doubt to curiosity to belief, Nathanael gives us a simple picture of how we might deal with our questions about Jesus and the limits that we place on him. From honest skepticism, he put himself in a place to encounter Jesus and allowed his doubts to be removed. But now notice Jesus' response. Jesus does not, at this point, say to Nathanael, great job, man, you've sussed me out, you've grasped my identity, you've got it, hook, line and sinker. No. He says, do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these. Nathanael might have believed from this one small display of Jesus' divinity, but it doesn't stop there. He will see Jesus do all kinds of things. He will see him raise Lazarus. He will see him heal the blind. He will see him risen from the dead. And these things will cause him to believe all the more. If this one small moment caused the beginnings of faith, how much more will these future encounters with Christ build it? It is a lifetime's journey to come to know Jesus. It does not happen once, but again and again. The moment when the curtains draw back and we get to say, ah, I thought I knew you, and yet here you are, surprising me once again. It takes a lifetime to regain our sight. The journey that Jesus invites Nathanael on is to discover who God is by discovering who Christ is. A continual journey that has many moments of Jesus' blindness, possible doubts, growing curiosity, and eventual confession. Once again, discovering that Jesus is God, but not quite in the way that we knew before. But you know, this can sound so old. It's in the words that we say here in church every Sunday. We've heard it when we're children at Sunday school, and we hear it again and again as adults. Jesus is God. Yes, we know that. But the question is, have we encountered him already? Do we actually, really, in the whole of who we are, know it? More than just in our heads? Has it made the journey into our hearts and into the depths of our soul? For even though this reading ends with a heavenly revelation of who Jesus is, he was also a man from Nazareth, who had conversations with individuals. He was personal, intimate. He cared. He met people where they were and broke down all manner of social boundaries so he could be with them and eat and drink with them. Knowing what it is for Jesus to be God is a journey, but it is an intimate one. It is a relationship that is so real, so deep, so close that he knows every fibre of our being, loves who we are and wants to meet us in real time, today. We can't remove our own Jesus blindness. Jesus does that for us. He removes the blinkers and he makes himself known by his Spirit. But we can humbly offer ourselves to him. We can open our hands and our hearts and say, I'm curious. Is there more to you than I've known so far? I'm willing to change my ideas about you and be honest with my questions. Please show yourself to me. So how is your Jesus blindness? Have you heard words about him, but never really encountered him for yourself? Did you meet him once long ago, but have never moved past the honeymoon phase into real life and mature faith in Jesus? Or have you known him, but somewhere in your heart rejected him because of doubts or questions that you never knew he was willing to listen to? But you know, whoever you are, young or old, the invitation Philip gave to Nathanael is true for us all. Come and see for yourself. Don't take Philip's word for it. Don't take mine. Ask him to meet you. Ask him to show you greater things than you've known so far. Don't stay Jesus blind or Jesus partially sighted. Come and see. Amen.